Morning, everyone. So glad to be here. Goodness, it was a challenge with the marathon going on. I grew up just right over here, and I kind of said, oh, I can figure it out. And wow, it was kind of a challenge. I always feel so nostalgic when I'm here. I didn't grow up in this church, didn't grow up in the church, but I did grow up just right over here. When I was 20, I could probably throw a rock and hit my house. But these days, I probably couldn't get it near there. But I did my very first wedding right here. First one I ever did in my life. So I get nostalgic when I'm here. Just wanted to say a couple words before I get rolling. Joseph and Carla, when they're boys, what a blessing, that you guys have been to them, and I know them to you, and love them so much, and so glad they're here, and glad they're not here today, because Joseph has heard everything I know twice, so anyway, love them so much. The Deloneys, known Pat and Jim for a long, long time, and love them more years than I can think of. Also think of Stephen and Mary Ann. What a beautiful young family, amen. I mean, they're just great. I just miss them and see them here, and it just brings back so many beautiful memories. What a great young family, a good little couple, and Stephen just the best guy, talented wife, the whole thing. So it's good to be here this morning. And this congregation has made a huge difference in the life of Joseph and Carla and Stephen and Mary Ann and Deloney's for generations, I guess, and also me. Many years ago, many, many years ago, as I mentioned, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't really have the heritage. I wasn't in the Church of Christ network, and I was feeling called to be in mission work and at Impact, and this congregation stepped up and helped with my financial support, and it's made a huge difference in my life. So not only are you continuing to touch lives, but you've touched mine for 25 plus years, so it's really good to be together. I'm going to reread what Jim just read, just to put some emphasis on a couple words. He did, of course, a beautiful job, and so I want to read it again. Jesus said, "Yes, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." He says, "Remember the height from which you've fallen, repent, and do the things you did at first, and that would be repeat." So that's what I want the takeaway to be. Remember, repent, and retreat, repeat. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for being able to be here today. Grateful to be at this beautiful church. Grateful for the welcome. Father, it's my heart's desire that I would, every word coming out of my mouth would be words that would be that you would be well pleased with, that you would approve of. Father, it's our heart's desire that we would that you'd be well pleased with what we're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. About the 16th century, this old shipbuilder, he said, if you want to build ships, you don't collect some people to go find wood. You don't drum up somebody to do task and ask people to cut the wood, but rather you teach them to long for the sea. If you want to build a ship, teach people to long for the sea. And I think that has spiritual insight. It has some insight for the kingdom of God. If we want to build a church that pleases God, if we want to build a church that God is pleased with, then we don't recruit people to ministries, we don't recruit them to task or to work, but rather we teach us to long for Jesus. So above all else, a church must be a place that longs for Jesus, where we are pursuing him, where we are longing to have this love affair with Jesus. We want to be falling in love with him more and more. And this particular passage that we read, there's this great church in Ephesus. It was founded by the Apostle Paul about 30 years before that. And these people were tremendous lovers of God. But 30 years later, Jesus sends them this sobering message. He says, "But I hold this against you, that you have abandoned your first love." So the church was full of people that work hard, but they had left their first love. They were workers, but not worshipers. They had religious duty, but they did not have this deep, growing love for Jesus. So the good news is, fortunately, Jesus tells them what to do to recapture that first love. He says, remember. He says, repent. And he says, repeat. So I kind of want to just spend all our time in dwelling on those three ideas of remembering, repenting, and repeating. So we're just going to kind of dive in. He says, remember the height from which you have fallen. So just for a moment, if you and I could together think back, pause and think back to when you first declared for Jesus, when you were first making Jesus the Lord of your life, when you were baptized, think back to that time. Think back to maybe some of the special people that were influencing you. Maybe it was a mom or dad. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was some devoted, faithful, tireless servant at the church that so impressed you with their example. Think back for just a minute to those times, those early weeks, those early months, the first couple years, and try to recall some of what that's like. And here's a couple of maybe thought starters, maybe reflective type questions. What is it that has helped you keep that first love alive? What has helped you do that? Are there ways in which you and I, are there ways in which we've lost our first love? Maybe we've drifted from that a little bit. But what has helped you keep that love alive? When I hold up the mirror and I look at myself and I think about my spiritual journey, I've detected some things that I'm not pleased with, that I want to push back against in my spiritual life that I've changed. I seem to be these days more risk averse. I was more adventurous when I was a newer Christian. I was more willing to have tried some different things. It seems today that I'm have become more and more okay with the status quo, that I kind of go along to get along, that, that's just the way it's always been. And I seem to be more okay with that, and I'm not happy about it. It seems that in my spiritual life, I'm a little less aspirational. My dreams are a little smaller than they once were. My wife put a sign up in the kitchen recently, and it said, "Sometimes I wake up grumpy, sometimes I let him sleep in." And, I don't want to be a grumpy old man. You know, I want to retain that joyfulness, that zeal and encouragement. I don't want to be that. I've noticed also that as my spiritual life has developed, that more and more, the only people that I associate with are Christians. When I first became a Christian, as I had mentioned, I didn't come up in the church. And so most of my associates, almost everybody I was around, they weren't Jesus followers. Some of them, they were living very far from Jesus. And I've noticed today that most of the people that I hang out with are Christians, which is very important and very good. We need fellowship. It's really important. I think it's gone down a little bit from the pandemic and so forth. There's an epidemic of loneliness. So we need to be together with our Christian brothers and sisters. But didn't Jesus wasn't his way to go to dinner parties where the people weren't Christians yet? Didn't he seem to have a deliberate, intentional way of encountering people that weren't Christian yet? And so I want to retain that and be that guy. I also noticed that kind of a close cousin of that is that I tend to hang out with people that are Christian and that have the exact same worldview as I do. And that's not always good. It's good to hear how someone else comes to a conclusion that's very different from yours. It helps you understand why you believe the way you do. But I want to be that guy. I don't want my huddle to be an echo chamber where I have this little cluster and everybody sees everything the same and everybody is a believer. I want to be out there. I've heard of people who intentionally, I knew a guy that intentionally joined a softball team just so that he could encounter people that weren't Christians yet. And so I want to be that guy. I don't want to change from that. Well, Jesus said, remember, so clearly that's important. And he also gave the Ephesians this one word command. He said, repent. So we come to God in our brokenness and repentance. We come to God in our confession and surrender. We're asking God to change us. We are seeking to turn from ourselves to God. Honestly, sometimes when I think about it, I despair that I will ever be able to eliminate selfishness, self-centeredness, self-promotion, self-focus. These are things that I wrestle with. Somebody said that self-focus is associated with the worst kinds of mental illness, that it's a real problem. I think it's a real problem. It's my opinion that it's a problem in our culture. C.S. Lewis said, the real test at being in the presence of God is that you forget yourself altogether. Further, he said, it's better to forget about yourself altogether. But I wrestle with this. I heard a guy that he was telling me that he noticed that the common thread when he had a hiccup with his wife or a dispute with somebody or maybe something was difficult, that when he looked back and traced it and started tracing it, the common thread was that he wasn't getting his way, that he was being selfish. And so ever since I heard that, I've kind of been using that in my mind as well. And when I have had some bump, some kind of challenging situation, almost always when I look at the root cause of it, the common thread is that I'm not getting my way, that I'm being selfish. So I thought maybe we could pause here and kind of confessionally pray a couple verses from Psalm 51. So please join me in a confessional prayer from Psalm 51, just a couple verses. I'll read them. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Amen. These days when I'm thinking of the prodigal and making an application to my life, I sort of take it now, and the daily application I make is that when in the course of the day that I maybe drift from God a little bit, that I keep returning to the Father. That's the key, return to the Father. If during the course of the day something comes on a screen in front of me, maybe I don't do something I should have, I do something I shouldn't have. Maybe my mouth says something that's not good, it's discouraging or hurtful. May thoughts pass through my head. When in the course of the day that happens, I try to course correct, return to the Father. That's the story of the prodigal, is keep returning to the Father. And as long as we do that during the course of the day, that we keep course correcting, we'll be fine. So here's another thought-provoking question, maybe. Am I becoming more or less sensitive to sin in my life? Am I becoming more or less aware? Are you becoming more or less aware of sin in your life? So we remember and we repent. And then Jesus says, repeat. He says, repeat the things you did in your early Christian life. Repeat the things that you did at first. So, upon examination, as we think about that in our own lives, the list is one that we would all know, and it's pretty predictable. Is your prayer life healthy? Is it? Is it ongoing and continual through the day? Are you you have a fervent, active prayer life? We just got through singing, worshiping, singing. So important. I have a dear friend. He has ALS. He's about my age. He has ALS. Got diagnosed about 2 years ago. It's an awful thing. Awful. ALS is the worst. It's awful. And so he's just gradually deteriorating. You know, it's really pretty quick. Every week that I see him, we have a little group that we meet together on Mondays, and every week you can tell. And I noticed that his breathing was shorter, and his voice had changed a little bit. And just this past holidays, he went with his wife to visit her parents in Montana. They're elderly, and so they went up there, and they went to their little local church, beautiful little church, good little family. And he was singing. And when he was singing, he lost his breath. He couldn't regain it. And he started having a panic attack in the middle of service and fell out. And they had to get an ambulance. It was a whole thing. But what's happened is that he can't sing out loud anymore. He's not able to, and the muscles are working less and less. And I'm kind of a person, I'm not a very good singer. I sing, but usually people don't sit by me when I'm singing. But I've kind of taken for granted. But hearing him talk about the pain that he's going through, the grief that he has over not being able to sing out, really had a big impact on me, my worship, my thinking about God, my singing to God. Certainly gathering with Christian friends, loneliness, it's an epidemic. It's a serious problem. There's a lot of lonely people. We need to gather with each other. And as I was making the point earlier, for sure, if we can figure it out in our own life to be touching people that aren't believers yet, how else can we share our faith but in the people that we touch in our daily life? Some people that we have something in common with, that we can build a bridge to the cross through that effort. Eagerly reading the Bible as a love letter, that ought to be part of our lives. Giving generously, extravagant giving. Sometimes in this particular category, you have a sense almost sometimes that it's, what's the bare minimum that I can get away with and be good with God? That's obviously not the intention there. But sometimes, you know, what is it? What is it that I have to do to be good with God in that category? So give extravagantly. And then, of course, you know, being able to share our faith freely, of being so excited about something that we discovered, Jesus, and that he's our Lord, and that that's where life is, and that I'm a new creation. Having the zeal and energy to share that is so important. He wants us to repeat that. So he says, remember, repent, and repeat. And that's my encouragement to all of us today, starting here, and for whoever else that might work with, whoever else needs to hear that. Remember, repent, and retreat. That's the encouragement today. And the gentleman is going to lead us in a song of invitation. I want to encourage you, if there's some way, this is a good church with good leaders. And if there's something that's in your world that you need to pray about, if you have a habitual sin that you need help with, if you need to make your initial faith commitment, whatever those things are, these are trustworthy leaders here. And you can come as we stand and sing.